So that's kind of how our paths crossed at the beginning.
Competitor.
We were competitors.
No, actually, sorry. I was the competitor, the king of Harley Street.
I booked myself on and then I turned up there and you were there.
Yeah, I thought you was following me. I was like, what the hell are you doing here? I don't know how we met because I was there.
Were you?
I was there. I remember being there.
Today I have with me my lovely husband.
Adam Abraham, the one and only, back again.
And I'm Emily Abraham. And so today we're going to be doing this video solely on myself and my husband. We've been asked by the editing team and the team that do all of our videos for us to basically talk about how we met and how we got to where we are today.
Yeah.
So we don't really enjoy talking about our personal lives, do we?
To be honest with you, no, not really. But we've had a lot of comments online and a lot of comments. People have been asking a lot about how we met, probably how we met. That's, I've seen a lot of that. So I think it's nice to address it so people can understand and just to give some sort of
clarification.
Yeah.
On yeah. That.
So, I could start off. I know how we met because I was there.
Were you?
I was there. I remember being there. So I remember when I first started the beauty clinics on Harley Street, these were my own clinics at the time. So I was doing like microblading. I was very heavy on microblading and it was a good time for me. I remember because it was very busy. My auntie was on the third floor at number one. I was on the fifth, on the third. I was everywhere. Yeah, I was everywhere in the building. And then you was also on the fourth or fifth.
Third.
I'll use on the third, at the back on the right room. So yeah, I remember we were in Harley Street, number one, and I had a really big room at the time, and it was very expensive. But we're doing really well on the business that we were doing, which is microblading. I remember seeing you in the hallway, even my auntie, my cousins, everybody was there. I didn't see my cousins as much, to be honest with you. That's how we met.
No. Yeah, so it wasn't really, we didn't really associate with each other. We knew of each other because we both were doing the same business in the same building.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how our paths crossed at the beginning.
Competitor.
We were competitors.
No, actually, sorry, I was the competitor, the king of Harley Street. I'm just messing around, guys. Obviously, I felt as if though, I didn't have much competition on Harley Street because of my advertising background.
Yeah.
And that was a massive help for taking a lot of the clients in the market and converting a lot of the sales and maximizing my diary, even though I hated this feeling on Harley Street, which happens a lot in beauty businesses that I've realized people that you can get 10 bookings a day, example, and there's always four that cancel. I swear the ratio of cancellations on the beauty business
really get many
on new people coming in, not like your repeat clients. If someone's coming in for a top up, they're not canceling because they need top up. But if someone's coming in for the first time and they've never done business with you, never seen you, don't know who the clinic is, I always felt as if though you'd always lose a percentage. And I remember my staff always going, "Oh, they're not coming in at oh yeah, 2 o'clock's not coming in, 3 o'clock's not coming in." But I knew that, if I book 10 in, I'm going to get six. So I used to always overbook to make sure that I could still make the max amount of money per day.
Yeah, I didn't experience that personally. Mm. I used to have a really good rate for show-ups. But we did business very differently. You did things your way. I was doing okay. You were doing okay. The way that it came to be for me to be at One Harley Street is that when I did my training, the lady that I did my training with was at on the number 7 door. So it's all the same building essentially, but she was in the number 7 door. And so I was like, I said to her, how do you afford to like have a clinic like teaching people from here? And she explained to me the process. And so she put me in touch, and that's how I then, after I did my training and my models, I then started doing like ad hoc work freelance from there basically. So whenever I got people booked in, had a solid day, I'd book a room there essentially. So we would pass, you were on the third, you had one room on the third floor, I was using a room on the third floor. it wasn't my room, but that's the room I was using. And we would pass each other. So we would see each other in passing. So that is how we met. That's how we knew of each other. All I knew was your name was Adam and you did microblading. And you probably knew exactly the same about me. My name was Emily and I did microblading. We didn't, there wasn't any more to it. And well, I don't know how it came about for you, but one day I thought to myself, my granddad taught me a valuable life lesson, which was gold. So he taught me a lot about gold. And so I sort of said to myself one day, what can I do that's kind of gold related, but that's relevant right now? And I was doing some research and I saw that watches were getting really big. So I wanted to go and do like an authentication course on watches, Rolexes. Yeah. And it wasn't just Rolexes, but it, the main part of it. And I booked myself on and then I turned up there and you were there.
Yeah, I thought you'd follow me. I was like, what? I was like, what the hell are you doing here? But for me, it was normal because I was already in the watch business because I already had the chain of pawnbroker style businesses, and I was already trading. And even from another room in Harley Street, I started planning on buying and selling luxury goods at that time. That was my business model, and I just assumed it was the best time for me because I was getting a lot deeper in the business, and I already knew how to buy and sell watches. You know, I was already buying and selling watches. I was already making money from that because my other store was already doing that. I think I spoke to my dad. I remember he was like, "Yeah, son, you need to go and do a course. There's a course on." I think he saw it in somewhere online or something, and he sent it over to me. And I was like, "Yeah, I'll book it." It wasn't that expensive, so I was like, "Hold on a minute."
Yeah, it was cheap.
The
only bad thing about it was it was in Birmingham.
Yeah, I had to drive up there.
Yeah, and then to be in Birmingham and walk into a room and see you sat there, I was like,
Yeah, it was a small. I mean, it was a big room, but there wasn't that many people there.
No.
Yeah.
So I sat next to you because I knew you, comfort kind of thing. And then we got talking and then we discovered that neither of us were in our relationships anymore. So phone numbers exchanged. And then the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah. it feels like a long time now.
It does feel like a really long time ago. I actually, although I've had a previous life, it kind of feels like I haven't. I feel like I've always been in a relationship with you.
Yeah.
Not in a negative way. Like you're my home.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, like for me, it's completely different because I wasn't, you know, I changed as a person when we met.
You did. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, like for me, it feels like a new life. Mm. You know, previous, you know, it wasn't the same. So it was a great thing because obviously when I met you, I changed as a person. I felt a lot more normal, like I felt human for once in my life, from being you know, somebody who's like drinks and goes out and does things which is quite normal in society, but I used to overdo things a lot. It was nice when we met because things changed a lot for me at that time, and it was probably it was the best time to meet you because things changed, and it was a massive benefit to me changing as a person.
Yeah, I think we both. So we both worked on who we were. I think when I met you, well, at that point, at that Birmingham point, I was in a really good place in my own life. Like I was happy. I was making my own money. I was single. I didn't have any stress. I was developing myself as a person and I was, finding out what I wanted to do with my life. I'd booked on this Rolex course, but I was also about to start university, you know, and that, so I was branching out and developing as a human. And prior to that, I'd been quite depressed and had not a very nice life, which people may now know about. And if you don't know, you can go and watch those videos on my personal, The Real Emily Abraham channel. But at this point, when we reconnected, I was in a really good place. I knew where I wanted to go with my life. I knew that I was settled, stable mentally. I was just happy with how things were, you know. And if I was going to have someone else in my life, they had to complement that. And I couldn't have somebody come into my life and cause turmoil or cause stress. So that's where our conversations came in at the beginning of our relationship, because I was honest with you and I said to you, And we both sat down and we talked about things. And I said, you know, I've had a really hard life. I've not had great relationships. I don't want to go down that route again. So if that's the route that you want to go down, I'm not for it. And I think you were at a point, I feel like, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that you were at a point in your life where you'd done all the partying, the women, the things that young men do, and you got to a point where you felt like you wanted a change, like you wanted to be feeling good about yourself and the decisions that you were making.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I think it took time to realize that as well. It wasn't just like overnight, you know, yeah, I want to be that type of person. But I did like live a full on life. And, you know, like, you know, I would just say from shopping alone was crazy for me, and driving cars or going on holidays, leaving the country every, you know, every couple of days, having the money from like the businesses that I was starting up, you know, because I had 4 or 5 incomes at the same time. And running multiple businesses from just my phone. I remember, you know, I was in a park working on, you know, on multiple businesses that answer from my mobile, because it all connected to one mobile. But when it rings, it would tell you, oh, you know, the treatment clinic's line is ringing, and then I'd answer, oh hi, you know, and I'll be answering multiple lines, booking people in, making sure that the business is all making money. And I was living a really good, easy life just from having fun, and I could be anywhere in the world having this fun. And then after we met, you know, I started speaking to you. You started saying certain things, and I was like, "Hold on a minute, you know, I think I need something more than just the life that I was living." And it took time, you know, as you know, it wasn't, you know, for me, it wasn't an overnight thing, because it's hard to change as a person, like just overnight. You know, it takes time to develop that new personality. You know, people who had known me 10 years ago today, if they haven't seen me in the last 10 years, they're shocked. They don't believe I am the person I am today. And I realized that from the other day, as you know, I went out to a wedding and somebody said, oh, you know, I've seen you on TikTok and social media and TV, and that's not the person you are. And I'm like, well, that is the person, because I know that's me, but they haven't spoken to me in 5 or 6, 7 years. So they're remembering someone that I'm not anymore. And it was a bit sad. I felt a bit sad at that time, because I was like, this person doesn't actually know me. They were like, no, I know you. Like, I know you. And I was like, They were adamant that they knew me, but they didn't, you know, in my heart, I'm like, they don't know the new Adam, because I've changed 360 completely, you know, as a person. Everything I did before, I do nothing at all anymore. And yeah, it was great. I think it's a lot to do with me wanting to change and you being able to be that person in my life to guide me in that, to realize what was right for me as a person. And it was up to me to decide if that's who I want to be. And it is who I want to be and who I am today, which is great.
Yeah, and I have to say, I'm very proud of you, because I know that the changes that you made aren't easy, because if they were easy, everybody would be making those changes. And actually, women, I think, find it easier to make changes than men do in general. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's a societal thing or whether it's just men find it really hard to change. But one thing that I always say about you to people is that if I mention something to you once, you change it straight away. I don't have to tell you the same thing. There's, well, a couple of man things, but I'm talking about relationship wise, you know. When I say man things, I mean like leaving your laundry on the floor in the bedroom. Like, that's normal stuff. You're never going to change. I have to accept that. Yeah. It's a minor. But things like to do with our relationship, if I tell you something upsets me or it doesn't make me feel good, you change that straight away and you work on it. And not many men are like that. I think women can be more like that. They're more adaptable. But you're not like most guys in that respect. Is you want to change and you're willing to listen. But I'm going to ask you something, because there's many people on social media who say negative things about me, about how I look and my age and stuff like that. And like people say I look like your mum, and they say that I look like Moo's grandma. I mean, I personally don't think I do. I don't feel like we look very different in age. I personally don't feel like we do. When you meet us, I don't feel like it looks like there's a massive age gap between us, because there isn't a massive one. There is an age gap. What is it about me that made you want to be a better person?
So I would say when we first met, I remember, like, I've said this a few times on a couple of my podcasts. It's just the way you was as a person when we first started dating. Yeah, as in when I first met you, I think we went out to ping pong.
We did,
yeah. To a restaurant. And we went to Novikov as well. Mm-hmm. And that was like the first sort of dates that we went on. And we sat together and I remember having a conversation with you. And the first thing I was like, wow, was I think we had a conversation and you said so many words I didn't understand. Yeah. I was like, what the hell is this woman talking about? I remember I had to ask you after. And I was like, you said like all these words in the conversation. I didn't understand any of them. And the thing is, for me, I'm around a lot of people, a lot of business people, a lot of successful people. And that conversation was never there. Those words, and still I haven't learned them. Yeah. As in like, you know, I'm still not smart with words, but the thing is, you know, I have a different sort of skill set.
Yeah.
And my skill set is business based and that's what I believe I'm great at. But you know, when it came to the English language, it was great. And I always said to you at the beginning, oh, I want to learn how to speak properly. Mm. And that was something I still want to improve right now. And I've hired English teachers. I've tried to read books. It's still never been within me as a person to sort of sit there reading. I can't read, I can read a book, but it doesn't digest really easily for me. I'm like Moo, you know, I think we got really short attention spans, like fish. I forget things quite easily when it comes to reading. That was a wow factor for me because I was like, oh wow, you know, someone intelligent, someone who can speak properly, and a lot better than everyone else I know. And I like that as a person. And then the second thing was, which was the biggest thing for me, was when we went out to eat in Novikov. And I remember I said drink at the time. I wasn't a practicing Muslim. I wasn't practicing at all. I didn't believe in much at the time. And I ordered, I think, 5 or 6 cocktails. And that was my extravagant lifestyle. And that was who I was as a person. And I didn't show you. I was just being me. And that was just me being the person I am, which was quite crazy, even when I look back at it now, because no one else does that. And they probably still don't do that now. But that is the person I was. And I remember the waiter coming. And I think I was a bit rude or a bit arrogant. Because that's how I perceive myself. And I must have been like, bring me a Coke or something, you know. And then I remember something like you saying, you can say please, you can say thank you, just, you know, be nice. And I remember I could not say please and thank you.
You really struggled with that.
Yeah, I struggled with saying thank you to someone. And I found it weird because when you first told me, you know, say thank you, I actually felt like I can't say this. I was like...
You actually said something along the lines of, why are you lowering yourself to say thank you to someone who's serving you? Because that's how your mindset worked at that time.
There's a problem.
And then I said to you, this person could be putting themselves through university. Mm. This person could be is someone's child. It could be someone's father. And you disrespecting him when he's standing on his feet all night is not making his job any easier. But if you say please and thank you, it actually makes his job a lot easier and more enjoyable to do. And when I explained that to you and said, this is one of the hardest jobs in the world to do. People are shitty to you. They're rude. You have to clear up their mess. They might not leave you a tip. The wages are better. What's the word? When it's the lowest minimum wage, they get minimum wage. Yeah. These people are doing long shifts and it's not necessarily a job that they may want to do. It may just be a job that they had to take to put food on their table. So when I explained that to you, it was like a light bulb moment in your head, I feel like.
That's how I felt. And the thing is, as in, it was a bit hard at the beginning.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, but after I think 5 or 7 or 8, 10 dates, I started saying thank you like just once in a while.
It's
like pushing out the word thank you. It was really awkward. Now I say thank you and please to every single person all the time, you know, even a shop floor, even to you, anyone, you know, they bring me back, oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. I think I say it too much now, slightly a bit too much, but I respect that. As in, you know, I prefer to say it too much than people get upset by me not saying thank you when they've done a great job. And now I tip everyone all the time. I'm out all the time tipping. But it makes me feel like that they know that they've been respected.
And appreciated.
Yeah, and appreciated because they do a great job. And everyone's so nice to me. Yeah, as in now I've opened my eyes to going out to restaurants and people, because I'm nice to them, they're equally nice back to me. Yeah, and that helps. And then it helps them get a tip, you know, at the end of the day. But yeah, as in that is what helped me change as a person from being with you. And it wasn't just that one pleasing thank you. It was a lot of change. You know, I changed my thinking in regards to, you know, other human beings, my family members. I got very close to my father, as in, you know, like extremely close. And, you know, we were father and son, but now we're like best friends, which is completely different. And that happened, you know, after, you know, we were together. I got closer to my kids. I became a better father, and a better person, a better husband. And every time, you know, you mention something like, you know, I change when you say something. When you say something, you realize that sometimes it's hard for me to understand it at the time, but within an hour, two or three, it's always, I want to be that better person. I want my wife to be happy. I want everyone around me to be happy. And I know it's for the best. Because I know some men have that problem of not wanting to change. And I was always like that. But then when I changed on the other side, I really wanted to be the best person. And you know, when I'm all in, I'm all in. As in, you know, if I'm doing business, if I'm trying to be better in the relationship, I really want to be the best in everything that I've ever tried to be the best in.
Yeah, which is really commendable, and I'm very proud of you as well, because I know it's not easy to make the changes that you made. You know, you, like you said, you did used to drink. Even at the beginning of our relationship, we would drink, but I would have one drink and you'd be excessive. Mm. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And then we had a conversation about that. We actually went on holiday.
Yeah.
And then after that holiday, neither of us have ever drank again.
Yeah.
So we went to Dubai. It wasn't our honeymoon. It was a couple of times after or something. And we basically sat down and said, no more drinking.
Yeah.
The drinking has to stop.
Yeah.
And
well, not good for me.
It's no for either of us. I mean, I can have one drink or two drinks and that's it. I'm very in control of my habits. But why do I need one or two drinks? I don't. We go out and we have just as much fun.
More.
Yeah.
I think I have more fun not being drunk, or because obviously when we were drinking, I felt it was a bit weird at the beginning. For the first year or two, I was like, I need drink to have fun.
Mm.
Yeah. And I remember we went to a New Year's Eve party at the Dorchester, and this was a massive eye opener to me. And we, as in, you know, we did not drink. People assumed we were drinking because we were drunk, but we were not drunk. We were sober. We didn't drink anything. Yeah. And because obviously we hadn't drank for 3 to 4 years. And we, you know, we had a great time. We partied all night. We're dancing. We're having fun. You know, obviously it's halal fun. You know, to me, because we were together as, you know, as a couple, and we were spending our time together. The kids were all relaxing, which was great. You know, we had our own time. And yeah, we didn't need any substances to sort of get us in the party mood. And we were just there, you know, I was just dancing as much as possible. I was like, I'm going to enjoy this moment. I think we were dancing to like the last people on the stage. And, you know, people that were drinking couldn't keep up with us.
Yeah, we had so much fun that night. And everybody else was drinking. Mm. Everybody else on our table was drinking, complete strangers. Everybody in the room was drinking. We were the only literally, we were the only people not drinking. And I genuinely feel like we had the best time.
Yeah.
I left there. We went home. We fell straight to sleep. Yeah. We didn't wake up with a hangover.
Nope. No hangovers.
We had such a lovely night, and it was such a memorable night. And the food was lovely.
Yep.
It was like the entertainment was great. It was just a really nice night. And that for me as well was an eye opener, because we've been not going out purposefully because we don't want to be in places where people are drunk. But this was like a different level. The people there were adults. They were mature people, not as in all age wise, but they just were level headed people. So everybody was there just to have fun. There was no, you could see there was nobody going to have any beef in there or anything like that. It was just a relaxed environment in the Dorchester. Mm. And it was a really lovely evening. But it opened my eyes to the fact that we can go out. You don't have to drink to have a good night. And we did really enjoy ourselves. And that was that. But I know that it wasn't easy at the beginning for you. It was much easier for me. Because if somebody only has one or two drinks when they go out, which was once in a blue moon, and then you were a person that would have 10 or 15, it was a lot harder for you to not do that anymore. And I have to give you the utmost respect, because you literally just set your mind to it and that was it. It changed.
Yeah, I think it was one day.
You did?
Yeah, just one day. Yeah, a lot of things were one day for me. It was just like, you know what? Enough is enough. That's it, done.
Yeah.
And then just cold turkey.
But then what we noticed from doing that was that our heads were clear. We had no stress, like added external stresses, and we could really focus on our business.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when everything changed for us, I think. So I think we made a conscious effort to be living the right life as Muslims and not do the bad things. And that then benefited us in many, many ways. So how we got to where we are now is because of those life changes that we made. So we made conscious decisions, and we also made conscious decisions as a couple. So one of the things, one of the sacrifices that we made was that we didn't have a big wedding. So we sat down and we talked about it, and we were like, right, we can spend thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds having a wedding, or we cannot spend thousands of pounds having a wedding. We can open up businesses. And that's what we chose to do, didn't we?
Yeah, I remember that time. I remember because obviously I had a certain amount of money in the pot, which was the pot that we can use, that wasn't tied up. And we could have had, not thousands. I think it would have been a lot more money. Tens of thousands, 50,000, 100,000 pounds. Cause weddings are expensive. The halls are 20,000, 30,000.
Mm.
You feed each person to be at least 200 quid, especially if we can do it the way we do it. And then we made the decision to open up multiple businesses.
Yeah,
and that was great. That was I love business anyway, as you know. So for me, it's always I prefer to invest the money into businesses than have a big wedding. I thought the big wedding was more to make my wife happy. But then when you was like, oh, we should invest it in business, I was like, yes,
yeah,
because that's exactly what I would do. And we did do that, and we were very lucky because we managed to open up multiple stores. We had Harley Street, we had the pawnbroker style businesses, and we opened up another branch. You was running one, I was running one, the clinic was running, we were running around like all
headless chickens
all the time, up and down, everywhere. We were waking up, I remember 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning getting deals done. I'll be sleeping and we go, oh, I gotta leave here, I gotta go there, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. And it was great deals because of the time differences around the world, etc. So you know that if America's awake or Dubai's awake, I've gotta make money. And it was great to have you by my side at that time because you understood the dream. And then, when I'd wake up, you'd be like, all right, you get up instantly and we'd be out the house and, airport, flying away or whatever we gotta do. It was great.
Yeah, I think one thing about us that nobody can dispute is how well we work together. And I don't just mean work, I mean in our relationship as well. We're very compatible, I think, because we've worked on it together. So we've worked on our relationship, but what that has done is allowed us to be very compatible in the workplace as well. So we both know where we sit within the work environment. So that has benefited us. Not all of our businesses succeeded. Okay, so we couldn't sit here and lie and say that everything we've done since the beginning or everything you've done since you started business has been a success, because it hasn't. We've learned lessons though. So every failure in business taught us a valuable lesson, and those valuable lessons we took on and moved on to each business moving forward. And so there in that instance, then nothing's a failure because you've learned a lesson from it, I would say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, you said that we haven't succeeded in every business. I feel that we did succeed in every business. We just didn't take it to the level of success that you would have liked of it. We didn't take it to that level of where you would have considered it to be success. Because if, for example, we looked at, I'm not going to mention the business, that particular business, we flatlined, it was a potential to make money, but we didn't pursue it because we had other plans and other dreams. And
also then, COVID.
Yeah, and happened. COVID hit at that. I mean, that was one time that, and then you got a business and COVID hits. I just feel like any business that you feel that we haven't succeeded in, we can succeed in. Yeah,
we can.
Yeah. I can go back and just... do everything I got to do, open it up, have the right people, have you on board, have me on board, get the right people, to run the business. And with that extra efforts, with the extra things that I do that I do to make things work, it will 100% work. There is no guarantee. But I feel the limit of how much you can make within that business structure or within other businesses were annoying for me. Because for me, it's like, hold on a minute, I can't make 100 million pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that to me annoys me when I know that my lifestyle and the things I want to do for my family, I need a lot more than a couple of million a year.
Yeah, agreed. And I appreciate that. But I still stand by the fact that businesses closing down and learning lessons from that is not a failure.
No, 100%.
It's not. It's because you're taking these lessons every single time that a business closes, or you make that decision for a business to close. You're taking those lessons that you've learned, every single aspect, whether it's customer service, whether it's marketing, whether it's finances, you know, employment laws, whatever it is that you've learned from that particular scenario, you're moving on to be bigger and better each time. And there's no shame in businesses closing down and things not working, is my point.
Yeah, as in, like, as you know, from a very young age, I felt as if that my father would say, you're the smartest, poorest business person he's ever met. Because I had done multiple businesses that from a very young age, spent loads of money, spent tens of thousands of pounds on businesses that my father would start up and, you know, would do something and he wouldn't pursue it because he said, oh, we've got a better idea, son. That would make, instead of making £10, now we can make 20 for that idea. And then we move on and again. And I had so much experience, but I totally understand. And, you know, I always felt, once again, you know, like my father would say, you know, you failed, you know, so many times. Now you're only planning, or you're only getting closer to success.
That's
which is something that sticks to me a lot. You know, just being able to feel as if though failing is just a path to success.
It is, because there's lessons being learned. But I think also what we should mention is how our faith, devoting ourselves to being Muslims, has benefited us in this venture that we're in now, so the Love Luxury venture, because I feel like we've given this business our all. You've still got things going on, you're doing your other things, but I've given my all to this business, so have you. We've put everything, a lot into it, I mean, personally, physically, time-wise, that kind of stuff. Yeah, so I feel that what we'd be amiss not to mention how our faith has helped us.
100%. No conversation, as you know, our beloved would say, no conversation without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a conversation to be had. So, you know,
unless you mention,
and you know, at the forefront of, you know, like the first thing is, this is everything between me, my wife, the business, our children, my parents, our connection between each other is because of our faith and our deen. And, you know, me and my wife, we pray together every single day. Our children are praying with us, alhamdulillah. And the blessings that we've got from our Lord has, you know, it's overwhelming with the amount of love I feel that our Lord has blessed us with. Because every time you see your husband, because obviously you know what I do, so I'm always stressed when it comes to, like, I've got so many bills to pay, this and that, I got to make up this, I'm doing this, and things, you're like, oh my God, my husband's super stressed. And it's a lot, because I take a lot of responsibility on my shoulders.
You have got a lot of responsibility on your shoulders.
And then you see how the Lord works. And you always say, you say, I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that everything's going to work out. And everything, alhamdulillah, always works out.
Alhamdulillah, it does. And that's one thing that I, at the beginning of doing this venture, I had to remind you a few times, was that every single time we had pressure, financial pressure, because of this business, he always provided for us. There's never been a time where he has not made things happen and work for us. And now, I don't have to tell you, because now it's in your brain. And we can see that, both of us can see that. So I feel like the fact that we are, what's the word? We are advocates of Allah. We're advocates of the Muslim faith, yeah? Is only benefiting us, because people are seeing that we are on the right path, that we want to do things the cleanest and purest way possible, that we're transparent, which is a word that you like to use a lot in our business, but that we really are doing this with the best of intentions. I think everybody is seeing that about us. You know, like, we've had people on our team that are not Muslim. They might be Jewish, or they're Christian, or they're Catholic, or they're non-believers, yeah? And they'll say, oh, just do this, just do that. And the amount of times that we've sat down and said, no, we're not going to do this and we're not going to do that because it doesn't fall in line with our faith. We're not going to talk about Christmas. We're not going to talk about Valentine's Day. We're not going to compromise our religious beliefs just because that's what you want us to do to promote the business. We've done it, that's just an example, but we always stick to our guns and make sure that everything we do in Love Luxury and other businesses is done in accordance to our religious beliefs. And I think and I feel and I believe and that Allah is blessing us because of that. He is seeing that there have been times in this business where it would have been much easier for us to succeed faster if we'd have done things slightly not as according to his path.
Yeah, no, 100%. And, you know, I would like to change even more. You know,
yeah, so yeah, would I.
As in, you know,
obviously,
you know, we do some TikTok, some things, and when I look back at it, I'm like, oh
yeah, same.
Yeah, you know, it's not really something that I'm happy with, and you know, like obviously we don't do major things, but at the end of the day, be the person that likes to be 100%. You know, I do try my best, and we do try our best, and we do have fun with it. Alhamdulillah, you know, it's we have fun together as husband and wife and as a family and as a unity and all the staff and everybody here. I like everyone to have fun. I want everyone to look back one day and see these amazing memories that we're building, to be completely honest with you, because this is what I see it as. I see it as, you know, building memories. And, you know, I look forward to the future. You know, the past is the past. You know, we've both had a past and we're happy when we met each other. Alhamdulillah, things have changed. And, you know, we are, I mean, I'm 10,000 times better person than I am with you, you know, than I was without you. So alhamdulillah, it's a blessing from Allah to have such a beautiful, amazing wife like yourself. And it's an honor to be able to take care of you in the right way, especially because, you know, that is the person that I like to be. And charity is a massive thing for us. You know, like even my wife, I can put my hand up and say, out of everyone I know, she's the most charitable person out of everyone I've ever met in my life. And I felt as if I was the most charitable person. So, you know, two people who are massive, in love with giving, is a massive blessing, because our dua is every single day. You know, we make dua every single day we pray. Obviously women can't pray every single day. Men can. And it's always to be one of our duas is to be the biggest of givers and the biggest of makers, for we can give more. And that's a massive intention. I make it every single day, or at least 99% of the time. And, you know, that is because I want us to be able to help a lot of people. And I want to help my family. You know, at the end of the day, I'm a man. My responsibility is to give everything to my family, and for them to be relaxed, easy, chill, have the best life. My father lives good. My wife is on top. You know, she's on top of the world in her, you know, in feeling the best. The kids are amazing. They feel the best, you know, having a great mother, a great father, and just people around us. Alhamdulillah, it's a massive blessing. You know, every time I talk about it, I know how blessed, you know, how blessed we are, because we get caught up in working. We're so busy. We can never talk too much about who we are, what we are. We've become very popular on social media over the past year, which has been crazy for us, because it's hard to walk around and now not be recognized. And, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, so first of all, thank you for those lovely, kind words. It's so sweet to hear them from you, because you're not much of a romantic, yeah? So I don't hear them all that often. So when I do hear them, it really touches my heart. So thank you for that. But moving on, I think one thing that we can say is we're not perfect by any stroke, by anybody's means, but every day we wake up and our intentions are pure. And every day we're trying to be better people today than we were yesterday and tomorrow than we are today. That's one of the duas that I make every single day. So I think people can see that about us and it endears them to us. And I think anybody who knew you or me in our past doesn't know who we are today.
100%.
They do not. Anybody who knew us, they don't know us. Even I feel like we are not the same people we were a year ago. 100%. We're not the same people we were when we met.
No.
We have evolved so much, particularly you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still working on myself. Yeah. You're still working on yourself. We want to be the best people that we can be. But particularly you, I think anybody out there watching this who thinks that they know who you are, I can say, as your wife, they have got not a Scooby-Doo. They don't know. because they don't see the developments that you've made as a person, as a human being, and spiritually for your, for our Lord Allah. Mm-hmm. And I felt like having a talk today was really important, because I wanted to give you the praise that you're due, because you have progressed and developed so much, and I'm really grateful to you. And I know that things can get stressful for you, and I appreciate everything you do, and I know that your intentions for us are only good, and that's why we push through and we're such a good team together, is because we've really got each other's backs. Even on days when we don't want to get out of bed, we still get out of bed, because we know that there's so many people relying on us. And I just think we're a really, really good team together, and I'm very lucky to have you, and I love you to bits.
Yeah, likewise. I love you more than you love me.
No, you don't.
As I always say. But yeah, in regards to team, I do feel like together, this team is, we are a very strong team together. And, you know, because we've got two such strong skill sets, and I feel together it's perfection.
I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, having that team together, just I just don't feel nothing can you know, like, get to us. It's great. As you know, we've got a load, you know, we've got so many things in the pipeline. We're doing so much. So, you know, we definitely need each other now.
More than ever.
Yeah. But yeah, I think we should wrap it up there.
I do too.
Yeah, so we've got things to do. But I'm gonna say bye first. So I'm gonna say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all my brothers and sisters, everyone out there. My love is with you. My blessings are with you. My du'as are with you. I make du'a for every single person. Ask my wife. Wallahi lazim. Every day, everyone, non-Muslim, Muslim, I don't care. I make du'a for everyone from the beginning of time. That's people who have been born today to the end of time, and people who have been born and who have passed already. I make du'a for everybody, and people who have not come yet and who will come and go. So my du'as are with the whole ummah, and I pray that everyone receives the best life possible. And just remember that my heart is with you, even though I cannot help every single person, because I do get thousands of messages.
We do.
Yeah, thousands of messages asking for money, asking for help, asking for charity. I do have my charities that I'm working with. Me and my wife are working on things right now, and inshallah somebody is out there to help you. And if anybody needs any advice and business, it's very difficult for me to give my time up at the moment because I'm very, very busy. So please accept my apologies, my deepest apologies, if I don't answer my phones, if I don't respond to every single email. I think I'll spend my whole life responding to everybody. So please forgive me because I do have to provide for my family. But I will say bye for now. Thank you so much. And you can follow my personal podcast, which is Mr. Adam Abraham, on all platforms. And I'll leave you to my wife. Assalamu alaikum.
Don't forget to hit subscribe, like, and comment. Put your comments down below.
See you later. Bye. Bye-bye.